want to read from Philippians chapter 4. We'll read from verse 4 down through verse 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. You may be seated. Paul writes here to be strong. He writes for them to rejoice. You realize when you go to everything that Paul has been speaking in this letter to the Philippians, he's referring back to his joy, and our joy is not based on sunny optimism or positive mental attitude, surely not based on whatever current situation or state you find yourself in. Paul was saying how much joy he had. But remember, he was saying this and writing this letter while he was imprisoned in Rome. He was under house arrest. He couldn't leave. And, today in our justice system, if they put somebody on house arrest, what they do is they put an ankle monitor on them. And there's nobody there to watch over them and that, but they can't get the ankle monitor off because it will send off an alarm. But that ankle monitor is how they keep track that they are where they're supposed to be. They didn't have this. And Paul didn't have a chain on his leg. What Paul had was he was under guard there. Wasn't allowed to leave. But he was allowed to receive visitors, and they were allowed to come and those visitors and go. And so that's how Paul was able to write these letters and send these letters out. I want you to realize when Paul was writing all these letters while he was in prison, he never once complained about, look at this terrible situation I'm in. He never once bellyached about it, complained about it, blamed it on anybody. Instead, Paul talked about having joy in the Lord. This wasn't because Paul was just saying, hey, look, I'm just going to have good thoughts. It was because Paul did something that we'll refer to here that refers to in Ephesians about bringing his body and his whole being in subjection to the word of God, to God. And so Paul didn't allow his thoughts to drift into areas. Look, he was just as human as anybody else. And so his mind was just as much a place that Satan could come to try to wage battle as any other human's mind. So don't think for an instant that the thoughts of the devil weren't tried to, like darts thrown at him, to try to get him to look at it differently or to complain or to whine about it. But Paul had something that he had a hold of that he could fight against these thoughts and darts and arrows of the enemy in his mind. And Paul outlines these things in the Word, if you'll just pay attention and listen. But this is the thing. Look, you think about this, the way that Paul's saying this, rejoice, he says, in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Isn't it something that we serve a God that actually makes it your duty to rejoice? He makes it your responsibility to have joy. But he gives us the way to have it. The way that we think as humans many times that we get joy is if everything is going just the way that we want it to be. No opposition, nothing against us, everything flows fine. We say, well, we're happy. We're in a battle. You're not going to have that. We are pilgrims and strangers in this world. You're not going to find a place in this world where you're not going to be under attack by Satan. Brother Ram said, he says, come and give your life to the Lord and receive the Holy Ghost. He says, now you're in the battle. He says, before you were just floating along down the river with the rest of the trash. But now you're going upstream. Now you're going against everything. Because we live in a world that Satan told Jesus belonged to him. And Jesus never refuted it and said, no, this doesn't belong to you. No, he knew it did because man had forfeited it. So we're living, remember the message Brother Branham preached? Satan's Eden. We are living in Satan's Eden, not the Garden of Eden that God created in the beginning or what we're going back to. Right now we're in Satan's Eden. So if too often I believe that we as Christians, the area we fell in is we think that in order for us to have joy, that everything's got to be going great. In order for us to be happy, everything has to be going our way. If you put your trust in the Lord, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It's because your confidence is based on the fact that you know God is the one in control. You know, when things aren't going our way or we've got to do something we don't really want to do in this life, I'm talking like our everyday life, there's many things we don't necessarily want to do them, but they have to be done. Now, when a four-year-old doesn't want to do something, they kick and scream and cry, and there's no amount of reasoning with them. You can tell them, you can't go outside right now because you've got a cold. You're sick. So I'm not allowing you to go outside in the cold, the rain, whatever, because you've got sick. And if I let you go outside, it can just get worse. It can move down into your lungs and all this. But please. Now, look, we can excuse the four-year-olds that we realize you can't reason with. But God don't excuse us. He expects us to do what he says. And this isn't a suggestion here that Paul's making. He's not making a suggestion for you to rejoice. This is a command. This is something God requires you to do. It's not a suggestion. So how do we rejoice when things are not going well? We have the confidence of knowing that it's actually all in God's hands anyway. And that everything the devil does, everything that he even does against us, is going to do what? Work together for the good. Look, friends, the devil can't win for losing. Now, Paul then says, let your moderation be known to all men. This word that Paul's using here, this moderation, when you look up the meaning of this word into the Greek, what you find is Paul's actually talking, he's furthering up this thing about how to rejoice in the face of adversity and everything. He's saying, let your moderation be known. And what he's talking about is, look, if a person has his confidence in God, then he knows that the Lord is going to fight his battles for him. The Bible says, the Lord writes, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The battle is mine, saith the Lord. This word moderation, it means to have patience. Be of a patient mind. And saying, let it be made known to all men. That means believers and unbelievers. It means everybody. Let everybody observe your testimony of being of a patient mind. This describes a person who is really free to let go of all their anxieties and stress because they know that the Lord is going to take up their cause. The Lord's going to take care of it. And listen, friends, this confidence and this peace that he speaks about here, it's not because you know how God's going to do it. It's just that you know he is. Now, you know, we went here. Let me read this scripture to you. It's in Ephesians 6. I'm sure whenever we start through the book of Ephesians, we'll surely go back over this. But in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, this takes us back then to where Paul was speaking here in Philippians, when Paul was talking about prayer and supplications. We go back to that scripture, which we covered it last Thursday, but I wanted to go back through that verse again, where Paul says, be careful for nothing. And as we said last Thursday, that when you take that translation into our English and what that word actually means, you know, when you look at it just face value, the way we talk, don't be careful about anything. But that's not what it's saying at all. What it's saying is, don't be anxious about anything. In other words, don't let anything get you upset. Throw it up. Look, we're human. It happens. We do get upset. So what do you do? How do you stop this? Paul says, this is how you stop it. This is how you bring yourself when you're starting to feel the anxiousness, when you're starting to feel all tore up. What do you got to do? He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So what do we do when we start feeling this coming on us, that we get anxious about something or upset about something or tore up? What do? The one thing that many of us fail to do. Pray. There are folks that depend on other people to do their praying for them. God has never gave anybody the responsibility to do your praying. We are to pray for others. But if you ain't praying, then you ain't praying for others either. So, prayer and supplication, we went over what was the difference. Prayer is actually talking about your communication, your ongoing communication with God. Talking to the Lord. Supplications is actually asking. So this is a thing. God already knows what your request is. But this is the thing, you got to go back to what Jesus said, you have not. Because you asked not. He didn't say you don't have it because I don't know what you want. He said you don't have it because you ain't asking for it. He knows what your request is, but he's waiting on you to participate in prayer and talk to him about it and ask him for it. Look, friends. If you've made it this far without prayer, I don't know how you got here. It has just been the mercy and grace of God. But I'm going to tell you this. You're not going to make it from this moment into the resurrection and rapture without having a prayer life. Because I'm going to tell you this. God's requiring us for prayer and supplication, have communication with him and to ask him. He's requiring it. And I'm going to tell you this, God will back you into a corner. He'll allow situations to come. He'll allow the devil to have an onset against you to back you to a place where you will start doing this. This is the thing, friends. If you ever get to a place where you really can pray and start to pray and have a prayer life, let me tell you, once you see how successful that makes everything, nobody's going to have to tell you to do it. I think sometimes when I was first started on the field and just traveling from place to place, ministering that, I'll tell you, you know, look, friends, I know there's some brothers that we still got many brothers that go out and do evangelistic work and all this, and sometimes, you know, they may travel over to this church and then back home and then travel over to that church and back home. also oftentimes they'll actually, if they're going from one place to another and maybe they got something else, that they'll pray and they'll ask God, is there any place you want me to go in between here? Because look, I don't care who you are, how spiritual you are, gas costs money. Staying somewhere costs money. And if you got to drive over to, let's say for instance, you got to drive over to Dixon, maybe from East Tennessee, you drive here, a preacher does, to have a service on a Sunday. And then the next Sunday, he's got to drive to Arkansas. Well, he could drive back to East Tennessee and then a week later turn and drive back over to Dixon to drive to Arkansas. But oftentimes, and it's one of the reasons why I started having services on Thursday night, is because we had other churches here that had their services on Wednesday and so forth. And so I thought, well, look, if I got brothers which are coming through this area and that, you know, if they've preached in one place or maybe down in Murfreesboro or down in Manchester or up in Elkton or somewhere, you know, and then on Thursday, because those places all have most of their services on Wednesday, then on Thursday, they can come here. Right. Yep. And some of the brothers who used to do that, some of them don't, they aren't out there anymore, and some of them have passed away. You know, Brother Benton, he's got so old now, he doesn't travel anymore. Brother John Fontaine, who used to come through here frequent, he's passed away. And there was another brother that we had, used to come through here and that, but I don't think he's going anywhere now. I can remember one time I was over in North Carolina, I believe, and I got done out of a meeting, and I just didn't know what direction, where God wanted me to go next. And it was before I had came here to pastor. And I just got down to prayer, and I just kept praying. And this is the thing, what I would always pray is, God, where do you want me to go? You know, and maybe, you know, there's some brothers, I can tell you this as a pastor, some brothers I try to get to come here, and man, you got to book them way out to get them because everybody wants them. That wasn't an issue with me, Brother Phil. You know, if I called somebody or whatever that I knew or whatever, not, I always had open doors, don't get me wrong. But I wasn't, so anyway, I would pray and say, God, just lay on my heart where you want me to go. You know, there were some times I would get brothers to call me on the phone and ask me to come, and I hadn't contacted them. Then other times I'd say, Lord, where do you want me to go? And if you lay somebody on my heart to call, then lay me on their heart, so when I call them, you know, you're working on both ends. My point in all this is that I'd go to prayer until I felt wherever that place was, that brother, God would drop it on my heart. And whenever God did, then every time I would call them, yeah, the door was open and there was an opportunity and they asked me to come. But I'll tell you what, I can remember the times going to prayer, and I'll tell you what, until God spoke to me in that, I didn't have any peace. I was, there was things, the devil coming and trying to make you anxious about things and all, you know. But when I go to prayer and just stay there in prayer, then that peace would come. That's how you battle the enemy. Now, Paul says here, be careful for nothing. Now, like I said about the other, this is, he said, be anxious for nothing. Now, you look at the way that's worded, it's not an option that you have here. It's not a suggestion or something you got a choice to either, well, I got a choice by God. God, I can either be anxious and that'll be okay too, or not be anxious and that'll be okay. No. God's commanding us, don't be like this. Now, Paul's following this up saying, don't be like this. Don't be anxious. And he's following this up from the previous verse of, let it be known by your testimony to all men that you are of moderation or patient mind or not anxious about anything. You say, why is that important? Because what your testimony is saying, by the way you react and people see that testimony, it's actually showing them that your confidence and trust is in the Lord. His friends, look, others will look on and they'll see things perhaps that's going on, something you're faced with. And then they see that, they look at it, maybe a worldly person, an unbeliever, will look at it and say, man, I'd be all tore up if I was in that situation. But they look at you and say, why are you not tore up? Because you've put it in God's hands. Now, this is the thing I want to let you know. God always prepares us. Brother Bram says it this way. God always prepares his people before he does anything. So, we've been going through these letters of Paul. We started, a year and a half or better ago, almost 2 years ago, as soon will be, going through these letters of Paul, all right? Now, this hasn't been me as a pastor looking at whatever problems there might be in the church or situations that need to be addressed. That's not what these Thursday services have been about. All I've been doing is God leads me, I go through these books, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we cover, maybe this night we cover this many verses, the next night maybe only two verses. It may take us several nights to cover two verses sometimes. That's because God is opening this up. I want you to realize how much this is in the hands of God. I'll be honest with you. When God laid it on my heart to start doing this way back with the first book of Corinthians, I didn't see what I see now, what God was actually doing. But now I look at it and I see that, friends, we're delving into these scriptures, actually very deeply into these verses, and breaking them down to understand them. But not so that we are smarter in spiritual things, but it's actually God preparing us for whatever's going to go on. And there are times that there's a Thursday service here that's actually, believe it or not, preparing you for the next coming days of the next coming week. And if God's bringing it up, you're going to face it. But he's getting you ready for it by having me go over these things and break these things down. When I was speaking about being prepared, and I was thinking on this past week, when I was in the service, because I was thinking about this whole thing about not being anxious or being careful for nothing. And I was thinking about when I was in the military. You know, the thing was, friends, they trained us to be able to operate whatever our vocation was in the military. It was to operate in combat situations. And they wanted you to be able to operate with, professionalism, but they also wanted it to, the quality of how what you were doing had to be right up there, high as it could be. You didn't accept or try to give out something that was substandard. And this is the thing, you realize through training that you had no control when you go into combat situations and things and times. You ain't got no control over what all is going to be going on. Because you ain't got no control over your enemy. You ain't got really no control over what they're going to do. So you got to be prepared. But you can only prepare so much. Then there are things that are going to come up that you've been prepared for it because you've been trained how to react. And that's what God's doing. God is equipping us. One of the things they used to tell us in the military, they said to assess the situation and then adapt, which meant change whatever you got to change about what you're going to do. Adapt and then overcome. Now, you're going to say, yeah, well, we ain't all in the army. I beg your pardon. Yes, you are. You're in God's army, and we are in a battle. So when a situation arises, you ain't going to resolve anything by getting tore up about it. You're not going to resolve anything by complaining about it. But you do got to overcome it. Now, I refer you back to something that, quote Brother Branham, from Brother Branham. He said, God's not going to save you and then pull you through a pipe up into heaven and say, this is to the overcomer. He said, because you wouldn't have overcome anything. He said, but in order for you to be an overcomer, there are going to be things that you have to overcome. Now, if it was something physical, some of us would be like, oh, I got this. But it ain't. Satan shows the mind. And that's where you got to overcome it. And the only way to overcome it is, listen to this. Look, let me get on to this scripture here. Where do I got it at? It's found in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Paul said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So bring into captivity your thoughts. Not letting them run away. Here's the thing, friends. Satan can inject a thought. What many times we do as humans is we get to sit in there dwelling on the thought he injected. And that's usually where we get all tore up and upset. Now, sometimes the thoughts just come seemingly like out of the air from nowhere. Other times they come across the lips of some other human. They say something, and you go out of there and keep thinking about it and get all tore up about it. This is the thing that amazes me. People will spend more time with those thoughts than they will with the thoughts of the word that's been preached to them when they're in church. When you sit around and entertain this stuff, you are going to get tore up. All right, now let's go on into this verse here. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So it means everything that's going on in your life, God's concerned with it. There's nothing that falls outside of God's purview. God is concerned with it. With prayer and supplication, everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be known. Now, this is something here. With thanksgiving, what is this, to have prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, what is that doing? It's actually guarding against you coming whining and complaining. So don't come praying and asking, whining and complaining, but do it with thanksgiving. Do it with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known. So you really can be, reach a state in God where you're not anxious for anything, and that you do pray about everything, and that you're thankful for anything. Whatever God decides. You say, God, I'm thankful. Because you know why? I know you got my best interest at heart. You know more what's best for me than I do. Finally, brethren, verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We went over that last Thursday about the peace of God which passes all understanding. It means it's not something that you can explain necessarily. But friends, I'll tell you this, when you go to God in prayer and get into the land of prayer, I'll tell you what, you'll have a peace that can't be explained. It's not a peace that's based on you got up off your knees and you know how everything's going to work out. You know how God's going to do it all. No, it's just a peace knowing he is going to do it. It is in his hands. And you know what? You know why it's such a peace? Because you can get up in there and you don't got to worry about how he's going to do it. And you don't got to worry about what anybody else is saying or doing either. No worries. Hallelujah. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. You know what he's actually saying? Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry about it. Just be happy in the Lord. Because worrying don't resolve anything. It don't fix nothing. It don't help you feel better. It only helps you feel worse. I'll tell you, friends, I can speak from a place knowing that I've actually been in situations to where it was things that, friends, look, as a human and in my flesh, I'd get kind of tore up about it. But I'll tell you this, the only thing it does, raise your blood pressure. Yeah, right. Remember Brother Branham talking about that man, about him praying and worrying over his wife, whether she was, and his kids, whether they were going to be saved or not, whether they were going to accept God or not. And Brother Branham, the thing he told him was, he said, look, you pray for them, then commit it to God. He says, and then if they're, if they're in the election of God, he says, they'll come. And he says, if they're not, then they're not worth you worrying about. I know that's a harsh thing to say. They're not worth it. They're worth your prayers. They ain't worth your worrying. And Brother Branham goes on to explain that by saying, if you allow yourself to worry over it, he tells the man, he says, Satan will use that to break down your health. It's an attack against you. Finally, brother, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, this is actually, in the translation of this is actually so translated so well, you really don't need to go break down these words. Things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, virtue, praise. You know what all that means. But then this is the part where Paul comes in and he's actually giving you a command and telling you, think on these things. So how do you keep these thoughts that the devil brings or something somebody said from tearing you up? Don't think on those things. Think on these things. Let me tell you something, friends. If you will think on the things of the Lord, that's when God can come and actually speak to you and give you peace. Let me give you an example from the scriptures. There's a man in the scripture that we all know, his name was Joseph. And he had, there was a young lady that he was betrothed to. And then he finds out that before they got married, that now she's pregnant. Now, human logic tells you, ain't no way she got pregnant without being with some man. But she tells Joseph, I ain't been with nobody. An angel came and spoke to me and told me that I was going to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and that the thing that I was going to conceive was going to be by God. Now, the thing is, that had never happened before, and it ain't ever happened since. So Joseph had nothing that he could think on and reason with from anything in past history or anything else to actually come to a place to be at peace and settle with this. So at first he was thinking on, ain't no way, she's been with somebody. But he didn't wish her any harm. So the scripture said he was minded. He thought, I'll just put her away privately. But then the Bible said Mary told him what the angel had spoke to her. And then the Bible goes on and says, while he thought on those things, what things? What the angel had said to Mary. That was actually the word of God that he was thinking on. While he thought on the word of God, then the angel comes to him. Then God spoke to him and said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that thing which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That settled it. Joseph wasn't running around to all his friends and relatives and daddy and mommy and everybody else and trying to talk to them about this. It was settled. God had spoke to him. This is the thing, friends. It was God's word. The only thing Joseph was obligated to do was just speak God's word and live God's word. That's the only thing I'm obligated to do. I'm obligated to preach to you God's word. I'm not obligated to make you believe it. That is on you. That's where your responsibility comes in. I think we covered that a few scriptures or a few services back. I know we did. That's where you're obligated to be not just a hearer, but a doer of the word. Think on these things. G- Get your mind set on the things of the Lord. Listen, I'll tell you what. Brother Phil, I'm sure he could tell you the same thing about himself. I've preached so many years and I've studied so much. And it isn't that I know everything. I don't say I know everything. But I have learned a lot. And I've read so much and heard so much of the message and the Bible and have preached for so many years that there are times, friends, that I do some of my study. I'll look up scriptures and quotes and that, and then I got them aside in a file and I put the computer away, and then I just go on about whatever I got to do that day, no matter what it is, driving to go do some errands or doing some kind of maintenance work or something around the house or something or whatever. But while I'm doing all that, I just think on those things. And honestly, friends, I've told my wife for years that I do a lot of studying and God bringing me the scriptures and the quotes. Like Jesus said, the Holy Ghost will bring back to your remembrance whatsoever things I've said unto you. There's times I can be out just going for a walk. And I'm out walking. I don't really got to think about that. So I think about the things of the Lord. I think about what God's been laying in my heart. And then the scriptures and quotes and different things come to me and things like that. And if I'm nowhere where I can have a computer or something like that, many times what I do is I pull out my phone. And I got a little app in my phone that's got notes. And I'll make a notation to myself. Because I'm 62 and sometimes I can't trust my memory to remember what it was that came to me. Brother Jewel Forney told me what he'd done many times, you know, years ago, is he would have a pad of paper and a pencil by his bed. He said, sometimes God would wake me up, I'd have a thought and wake up. And he said, so I'd real quickly jot it down on the paper, he said, because if I didn't, I went back to sleep, woke up morning, it's like, what was that thought I had? Sometimes it'll come to me after I get done preaching here and go back there, so I got to jot something down real quick because I got to have it for the next service. Here's what I'm getting at. Look, when you leave out of a service, think on what's been preached. Don't just dismiss it when you walk out and go out into the parking lot and say, yep, that was good. My mom could tell you this. She said this many times over the years. My dad, before he was pastoring a church, he was we were going different places. Brothers would call him. He would go preach for him and things like that. And when we'd go preach, and I'm sure I've told you this before, we'd go and my dad would preach. Anytime my dad would preach, Mom would say, especially if he preached on faith, because she'd say, oh man, we're gonna have to live what he just preached before we even get back home. And we did, time after time. Not only that, but, you know, here's the thing. When the pastor preaches, friends, this isn't just me giving up and trying to give you a good morale-boosting speech. This is God preparing us and training us. You know, look, in the military, there is the pre-planning, and then there's the after-action reports. Sometimes we come in here and the preaching is actually preparing us for what is to come. We get out there and we don't listen. And we just make a very bad example. Then God brings us back here in the next service and we have an after-action report. And God scolds us because we didn't take what he gave us to prepare us and actually use it. What God's doing, he's giving us, and this is what Paul was doing in this letter here. Paul is telling him, don't do this and do this, and this is how. Don't be anxious. Show moderation. Show the thing that you are not anxious. Let that be a testimony before all men by your order of conduct. how you react to the situations. So how do I do this, Paul? Have communication with God. And when you've got a need, ask Him for it. And do that with thanksgiving, not complaining or whining about the situation that you're in. Paul follows this up when he says that, you know, for us to think on these things. He follows us up and says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So Paul's actually saying, look, I am an example to you. Paul says in another place, follow me as I follow Christ. So these things he's saying that you learned, received, and heard, what I'm telling you, do them. If you do what I am telling you right here, Paul's saying to the Philippians, then the God of peace shall be with you. You want peace? Do this. Now, I realize we're flesh, we're humans. And most of the times, friends, we can't help ourselves but to react. Sometimes our reactions, they come out without any thought. The thing to do is, because you realize it, you realize when you've reacted wrong, when you've allowed yourself to become anxious, when you've allowed yourself to get tore up, you realize it. So what do you do at that point? Back it on down and go to prayer. Lord, I'm sorry. First of all, I need to ask you, help me to get this flesh into subjection to the word. If I will hear what's being preached here in Philippians and then do that, bring my flesh into subjection to this word, to not be anxious, and to let my testimony be known that I ain't anxious, that I ain't tore up and upset, but that I have a peace because I've talked it over with you. And I have asked you for what I have need of. And I believe that you are going to provide it. I started to tell you this, was it last Thursday or was it Sunday? I can't remember. That a testimony about how my mom would always say that my dad, that if I asked him for something, for something I wanted, gave him a request for something I wanted, and my dad said, I'll do it. I never asked him about it again. That's because I knew he was good as his word. If my dad told me he was going to get it for me or going to do it, I knew he would. My dad was always a man of his word in everything. Friends, when my dad told me he was going to correct me, as a child, I at times held out hoping he'd forget. How many of you ever remember your parents telling you when you was a kid, or you telling your kids now, you wait till we get home? And as a kid, you always hope by the time you get home, they forget about it. I'm going to tell you something, my dad never forgot. If my dad told me that me and him were going to have a meeting or whatever about this, you know, we were. You could count on it. Because my dad never lied to me about correcting me, I also believed him when he said he was going to do something for me. Listen, friends, if you belong to God, he hasn't never failed but what to bring correction to you to bring you back in line. And he won't. He's not going to lose you. That's what he said. all that the Father has given me, I have them, and I'm not going to lose one. If they need corrected, I'm going to correct them. If they get out of line, I'm going to get them back on the path. Another thing my dad would do whenever he had corrected, you could ask my brother this. Man, sometimes this was harder than a whipping, man. My dad would whip us, you know, and then afterwards he'd say, now come here and hug my neck. And you tell me you're sorry for what you did. Whew. Tell me you're sorry that you made me have to whip you. Man, that was hard to do. I'm sorry that I made you. I didn't make you do anything. My dad also was a man that always would give a warning. He never brought judgment without warning. But my dad's warning many times was, and that was the only warning you got. If you were out in public, is what I'm talking about. If you're out in public or whatever, and he saw you doing something you shouldn't have been doing, boy, when you heard that snap of his finger, and he could snap it a lot louder than I can. I don't really have a very loud snap. My dad's snap, you could hear it. Buddy, that meant stop, cease, desist, whatever you're doing. And that's your only warning. Me, mine was always a look when my kids were growing up. I remember we went out to eat on one Sunday. And, with the church group, some of the church people went out. And so when we went out, the sisters was all sitting over at a table, one end or at a tables, and the brothers was all sitting over another table. And Nathaniel was just a little fella. He was in a high chair, actually. And so he was acting out, and he wanted to be by my mother, his mamaw. And so he was acting out. So my mom got my attention to let me know he was acting out. And I looked at her and I said, tell him to look at me. And she bent over and she said, Nate, your daddy said, look at him. And Nate said, mm-mm. But if I could get them to look at me and make eye contact with them, I didn't have to say anything. They stopped. That's your warning. Oh, my. God gives us warning. Look, God prepares us. When we come to the services, friends, let's come not expecting God give us something that we, I think I mentioned this before. Some folks, it was like they wanted you to bring them in and preach to them, Brother Phil, in this message, and entertain them with it, you know, give them something that they were like, wow. Well, that's not what it's all about. We're getting instructions on how to get through this world and leave here. We ain't planning on staying here. I ain't planning on being here in the tribulation time. I'm not making a plan B. I trust God. And friends, look, I know God's going to take care of me. And I also believe this part of the scripture. God will give you what you desire. He'll give you your heart's desire. Now, not something that's outside of his perfect will. But there are things in this life that we can ask God for, and God's going to give them to you. And the Bible says that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. And sometimes we think, well, if God's going to give it to me, I'm going to be able to actually see how that can be. In other words, Let's say this. We're asking God, we're saying, Lord, I need to make a purchase here. I need to buy a car, or I need to buy a house, or something like that. And we say, well, God, I'm asking you, and I believe you're going to give me this. Well, this is the thing, friends. If you're depending on you to be able to sit down and look through, I know this is probably going to rank some people. Look through your finances to figure out whether that's God giving it to you or not. You're looking at it the wrong way. I know we need to make good, sound financial decisions. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this. Faith ain't based on the deposit you got in your bank. Faith ain't based on you knowing. Look, friends, you know, there are some people that know every Friday or every 2 weeks or whatever what they're actually going to get in their paycheck. That must be sweet. But you got other folks out there, like Brother David and different ones, you know, Brother Gene and that. You know, I don't know from week to week. I don't know from week to week. Look, God bless the brothers, you know, that have a big enough church that there's an amount of money in the bank that it doesn't matter. I don't know, friends. They're getting the same check every month. They get a salary. I don't have a salary. There's sometimes it's lean, and sometimes it's surplus. And you take the surplus and hold back for the lean. But you say, how do you do it, Brother Jerry? I live by faith. Look, when I first came here, friends, I want to tell you something. Listen to this a minute. When I first came here, there was only a certain amount of people that were in this church. And there was only a certain amount of income. Now, there was, when I came, there was a fair balance in the, I don't remember what it was, Brother Phil, $2,000, $3,000, something like that. That was actually in the tithing account when I came. But that's because y'all didn't have a pastor. But when I first came, I want to tell you something. You're talking about some lean times. And God tested me. Look, I am thankful. I am thankful for what God provided. But I want to tell you something, friends. God sent me here, and He told me He sent me here. And so I went forward on that faith. But it wasn't because I had a place to live or bring my family to, because I did not. And I went forward with faith thinking, well, you know what I'll do? If God sent me here, He's going to provide me a place. And so I went around trying to get a loan and try to buy something and all that because, you know, look, let's face it, y'all know, rent is sometimes higher than a house payment. Once you get done with all the security deposits and everything else, first month's rent, last month's rent, and who knows what all else, you know. And so I thought, well, I'll just buy a place. And I thought, well, it's all going to work out. It never did work out back then. And I am thankful that Brother Leo and Sister Doris offered me to come and live in that trailer and bring my family. But the next thing I'm going to say, friends, I don't mean this in any way to offend. Of course, Brother Leo's done passed away, but Sister Doris, she's still alive or whatever. But I want to tell you something. That was not a good place to live. That was a test. I had a young man that was going to church here then come over and help me to try to clear out all the junk. You know, Brother Leo, you know how he was. He collected junk. And that thing was full of junk. And that junk was full of red wasps. And me and that young man found out real quick. It ran us out of there. And there was holes in the floor. wild animals come up through the holes while my kids were going to the bathroom. We had a possum come up in there. I mean, everything. It's okay we lived in the woods. Thing was, they all had free access too. I'm thankful. God bless Brother Leo and Sister Doris. But I'm going to tell you, he laid it on their hearts to do it because God wanted to test me. Would I be willing to do it even in those conditions and situations? There was no heat in that place the first winter I lived there. I got real bad. I did a funeral out here for Brother Jim's cousin, and I got real bad sick from doing that funeral out here in the cemetery in the bitter cold. And went back home over there and had no heat. I'm not complaining about it. I never complained about it the whole time I was there. And then after 5 years, think about that, 5 years, grace. After 5 years, then God opened the door for us to have a place when I thought 5 years previously that's what was going to happen. Here's what I'm telling you is, my faith didn't rest in everything looking like it was hunky-dory and working out real great, whether I believe God sent me here or not. I didn't rest on whether I made all the people happy or not. My thing of whether God sent me here didn't mean that everybody had to like me. Honestly, friends, look, it's human nature. You want people to like you. But I got to a place I didn't care. I knew God sent me here. And anybody who wanted help from the Lord was going to get that help. It didn't matter what anybody else was doing or what they thought or what was going on with them or how bad the situation was with me. I still had the faith that God sent me here and God was going to take care of me. And I had no idea of when things was going to change or get any better. And like I told you before, even when I went to buy that place out there, I didn't have the money to do it. I didn't have money for no down payment. I actually didn't even have really good credit. You got to kind of have credit to have good credit. I had a couple vehicle loans, that's all I had. And I had to get a co-signer on one of them when I went to go get the loan. Me being whatever I was, 30-some years old, I had to go get a co-signer on the one, that green van I had, because the bank said, you ain't never borrowed this amount of money before. I think it was $20,000. Man, I don't know if you can buy a car for that now. A new one, I mean, you know. Let alone a good used one that it'll run. They said, you ain't never borrowed this amount of money before, so you need a co-signer. Your faith ain't based on you know how it's all going to be, or that you can lay it all out in a book, or that you can look in your bank account and know, yep, got this. If God has told you something, then just walk forward to that and don't worry about how is it going to be. Amen. And that whole anxious thing that you have a tendency to get going, don't. Don't get anxious about it. Don't get tore up about it. Friends, I'm going to tell you, if I'm preaching this tonight, it means you're going to be tested. Guess what's going to happen to somebody? Maybe all of you. Something's going to happen that you're going to want to get anxious about. But think on what was preached. Think on these things, and then the God of peace will be with you. Listen to what I've preached, do what I say, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your care. You care so much for us, dear God.